You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett. As we sit here tonight on December 9th, the Christmas trees are up. Everybody's getting in the holiday spirit, whatever holiday you celebrate out there. And it's another week and another Jets loss. As you know, I think right now every Jet fan out there is pretty much numb to it at this point. The Jets find another way to bring you into a football game to kind of have you sit on the edge of your seat a little bit and then just disappoint you and fall in the end. I mean, you look at this past Sunday's game to begin with. You know, interesting game. The Jets come in there, and you know, with little expectations, obviously, from last week with Geno Smith. You didn't expect him to throw the ball as much as he did. And look, I mean, the game started as horrendous as it did. You know, he threw a pick six on this before you could even sit down and, you know, open up your soda and your take a bite of your nachos. The Minnesota Vikings were up 7-0. So, I mean, as much of a disaster that was, I thought Geno Smith settled down very nicely and played a pretty good game on Sunday, you know, to kind of maybe give people some thoughts that he can be a competitive quarterback on this roster next year. I mean, you look at the defense. I thought the defense should have played much better than they did. You're looking at a Minnesota Vikings team. I think it's ranked 30th in the league in total offense. And with a rookie quarterback, they just don't have enough offensive power to put that many points up on the Jets. A lot of big plays that led them to it. I think he felt comfortable about the Jets in that football game. You know, at some point they were going to take it over and, you know, maybe win the football game. You know, one part of the game that I was disappointed in was the last drive where Geno Smith goes for that big run. And all of a sudden, you know, the Jets settle for 3 points for the tie. And then all of a sudden, Minnesota's within a 55-yard field goal to win it within 20 seconds. I thought that was disappointing. I mean, there definitely were some positives. You know, it's amazing how Percy Harvin has his best game as a Jet, and now he's in the locker room and crutches at the end of the game. I thought that was disappointing. Some positives you look at, I thought the running game was okay. I think Geno Smith was definitely the biggest positive outside of that obvious pick six to start the game. So I think there's a lot to look at from this football game, a lot to build off of, but it's another week and it's another loss, Joe.
Oh, yeah, it's just another week, another heartbreak. You know, that game, I really thought Jets could have won it. There's definitely a lot of negatives. This week, the only thing different is they're a little bit more positive. I thought that, you know, he had a decent game, which to us, to Jets fans, is a good game because, you know, we're not really too used to seeing any type of good quarterback play. But like you said, other than that pick, he did have a pretty nice game. But there were some questionable decisions. Like on that pass to Curley when he got a pass interference call, Geno just chucked the ball up there, and he's lucky that it wasn't intercepted. He definitely made some poor decisions, but then there's plays where, you know, he's avoiding two or three sacks, and he ran out in the pocket to the left and got the ball to Decker. So he definitely looked decent. I think the other biggest positives. What would you say? Go ahead.
I said he looked improved. I would be.
Oh,
would
yeah,
be
yeah.
It, words for that.
Yeah, I don't know if he, like, obviously we both know that he didn't show that he could be a quarterback or quarterback next year. Maybe he could compete with somebody else to, you know, at least he's decent. He's not a Mark Brunell or anybody like that. But the obviously the other positives, you have Sheldon Richardson, who had three sacks, which is the most since 2009 when Calvin Pace had three sacks. He had a really, really good game. He was, you know, if we had a team full of Sheldon Richardson's with the passion that guy plays with, I think we'd be in a good spot. And you see it on that last play of the game on that 87-yard screen pass, which is a joke. We'll talk about that a little bit, but that was just a joke. He said he was running down the field. He knew he wasn't going to catch him, but he was running just in case the guy celebrated early and he maybe could have stripped the ball. So I want to see more of guys like Sheldon Richardson. Obviously our offense moved the ball pretty well. We had 410 total yards, which is good. Like you said, Percy Harvin had a good game. One of his, I don't know which one's better, that one or the Chiefs game, but he's proven that he's definitely a weapon for us. You have Decker, who had a nice game. You had Chris Owosu, who was just signed, who had that ridiculous catch when he bobbled the ball up there, and then he was falling on the ground.
How
and he caught it while.
Do you think he knew who that guy was when he got that ball?
Oh, yeah, no, 3% maybe. You had, I'll keep going on the positives. I definitely have a whole page of negatives, Brandon, and we'll get to that, but I'll just keep going with the positives for now. I thought Babin had a nice game. He had five tackles. He had a team-high 4 QB rushes. He actually looked pretty good in that role that he was playing. I thought Breno Giacomini had a really good game. I was watching him specifically because he's been struggling a little bit, especially with guys like Mario Williams and guys like Cameron Wick, and I specifically watched him. He actually had a pretty good day. Folk Hero came back, you know, 5 for 5, so that was good.
Yeah, playing with a half a hip out there is Nick Folk. I mean, a lot of people don't give him credit. You know something, though, Joe, to kind of step into what you're talking about, I think the biggest negative from this game, and I think this is really the biggest negative for the Jets the entire year, is this offense shows you signs of life. They show you signs of being able to move the football. 410 yards. They can move the football. They can be effective. But when they get down into that red zone, it's like the worst offensive, you know, it's the worst red zone offense I have maybe ever seen as a Jet fan. I mean, it's like the Jets you know, in the early stages of Rex Ryan being here, they improved so much in terms of red zone efficiency, and it has just tanked year after year. It seems like they're getting worse in the red zone. And that, you know, being 0-for-5 or something along the lines of that in the red zone was absolutely unacceptable. I mean, you have to be able to go in and have confidence that you're going to put touchdowns on the board. I mean, if the Jets could have put up 50 points in that game against the Vikings, easily. But they just were settling for field goals. I mean, the one touchdown you get, Geno throws a nice touch pass down the sideline and let his wide receiver go make a play. So, I mean, it has to frustrate us as fans as we sit there and watch the Jets and be like, wow, this offense really has potential with Geno Smith at quarterback to move the ball, to get first downs. Geno Smith looked like Big Ben evading sacks and getting away from defenders. I mean, he played a good game, and he played well enough to win. But the biggest problem with the Jets' offense right now is they don't finish to save their lives. They don't finish. They don't finish drives. There's always that, you know, that set of downs that just stalls their drive. They're settling for three, or they're punting, or there's a turnover. I mean, it's really hard to watch sometimes because you're watching them start a drive at the 15-yard line, and within 3 or 4 minutes, they're down in the on the 10 of the opposition. And then what happens? A fumble, an interception, you know, turnover on downs, or you're going to kick a field goal to go within 2 points. I mean, it was unbearable to watch, and it's been like that the entire year because the Jets aren't able to finish drives, and that's cost them it cost them the New England game. It cost them the Packer game. It cost them the Bears game. I mean, it has practically cost them every close game they've been in. Go look at their red zone efficiency. It's a joke.
Yeah, it bothers the hell out of me, Brandon. Every time I'm watching the game, they get in the red zone, and everybody around me, I just basically throw my hands up and say, you know, they're gonna score a field goal. That's all we can do. I believe as of right now, we're a bottom three team in red zone efficiency. You were right with the stat. It's 0-for-5 in the red zone. It's honestly embarrassing. You're not gonna win any game in the NFL. Well, maybe some against really bad teams like the Raiders, who we beat this year, but you're not going to win games if you can't finish in the red zone. You're just kicking field goals and after field goal after field goal. And honestly, if you told me right now that Nick Folk had more points than everybody on the Jets, like total compared to six or seven points compared to his three, I'd honestly say that Nick Folk probably scored more points than our entire offense. So it's embarrassing. You know, you have Ivory fumbling in the red zone at the 2-yard line, which it sucked. I can't really blame Ivory for that. It's his first lost fumble since 2010. So that sucked, but it's just the play calling in the red zone too is it's really confusing sometimes because sometimes you have, I just don't think that Marty Mornewick has any rhythm. You know, one day he'll run the ball 4 times in a row in the red zone. The other day, I'll pass it. I just think he needs to mix it up a little bit because we just need to do something because the red zone offense is terrible. It's amazing. It's embarrassing. Isn't it amazing to watch, though, Joe, when you're sitting there and at some point and at some point in times, you know, it's insane that you see. It's almost like it's like a disguise. It's like false. It's false hope is what the word I'm looking for with the Jets offense. Because you see the way that they move the ball. You see the way that Geno Smith can be effective in the pocket. You see the way that the running game can be effective. But it just doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't click. Like at the beginning of this game, it's amazing because with the Jets, you know, the offense, when the offense is going well and the offense is moving the ball and putting points up on the board, the defense will give up a touchdown. When the offense, you know, can't seem to move the ball or can't seem to get a touchdown and you know, is going into that three and out type of funk, what does the defense do? They step up, they give them the ball back two or three times in a row before something actually happens. It's like this team can't put together a full football game of being on the same page. Well, you play well for this quarter, I'll play bad for this quarter, you guys play well at this point of the game, and we'll finish the, you know, as a defense, we'll give up a touchdown for them to take the lead, and don't worry, offense, you go ahead and tie it, and then we'll give up a score, because it's amazing to me. I find that very, you know, odd as a fan when you're watching this, but one the biggest is me is you see the progress being made on offense. I mean, this is, don't get me wrong. I mean, this, they're 2-11 and they're in the bottom of this league and they're a bad football team. But when this reminds me of, you know, 2012's offense with three and out on every single play, on every single drive, almost it seems like, and, you know, sitting there watching that Denver game against Tim Tebow and the offense can't move the ball at all. The Jets haven't had really any type of games outside of really San Diego and the Buffalo game where they're not moving the football at all. I mean, this offense can move the ball. They just can't finish.
Yeah, and you see when people say, you know, it, moving the ball from 20 to 20 doesn't matter, and Jets fans have lived it this entire season. It doesn't matter when you can only move the ball from 20 to 20. It really sucks. We have potential, though. It's not like we don't have potential. The thing that I think Marty Mornowig needs to do more in the red zone is use some of our bigger guys. I don't know why Decker seems to disappear in the red zone. I obviously know that Amara wasn't playing because of a concussion, but I think we need to start using some of those bigger guys, throw the ball up a little bit. But you know, it sucks, Brandon, but to get to more negatives, you know, there's definitely a lot more that we can get to. I thought Darren Walls had a pretty bad game. He was thrown at six times, four completions, 187 yards with one touchdown. So he had a terrible game. The whole secondary really had a bad game. Obviously, you have Jaquan Jarrett missing that tackle on the game-winning screen pass, which brings me back to something with coaching. I don't know why Rex Ryan is blitzing on a third and five at the Vikings. I don't know what it was, like a 13-14 yard line. I don't know why Rex Ryan is blitzing the house. When you should be playing conservatively when they're that far back in their zone. So that's another questionable coaching decision I have for him. I don't know why he's blitzing that much.
I thought he did a good job really with the blitzes. I thought that they, I disagree with that. I think that they did a good job because I think the reason why Rex is bringing the house and blitzing is because two reasons. One, you got a poor offense and a rookie quarterback back there that when you bring in pressure, he's prone to make a mistake. And he, you know, it's basically Rex Ryan is saying, well, here's my rookie, you know, here's a rookie quarterback against my blitz. You know, who's going to win? You know, my blitz or the rookie quarterback. And, you know, he made a nice play. I think that they did a good job of that, especially because Muhammad Wilkerson is not in the game. So it's really like it's Sheldon Richardson or bust on that defensive line, bringing pressure to the quarterback. So I thought they did a good job in terms of bringing blitzes. I think that, you know, on third and five and stuff like, and also if you're Ray, get to that quarterback, don't get to the quarterback. What type of time, you know, he can't have a lot of time to make throws and complete some passes because the secondary is so bad. So it's almost like a lose-lose because, well, if I don't blitz and I drop back, I got poor guys in the secondary who are likely to give up a play. If I do blitz, I got a chance of, you know, making the quarterback go into a mistake. So it's almost like Rex Ryan is just trying to spark something with the defense when he sees that they're not going well. But let's go to Zach, who wants to talk about Geno. Zach, you are live on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Zach?
What's going on, Zach?
I don't know if you guys realize, but when you guys watched the game and you saw Geno Smith play, you know, it really shows, you know, Geno Smith can really, you know, really do some stuff with, you know, when he corrects his mistakes. You know, this is a Geno Smith we should have been seeing every single game. This dominant performance. You know, obviously he made no turnovers, no mistakes. Really, you know, he really held on to the ball. You know, he really drove the Jets down on some pretty nice, decent drives. And, you know, I really wish he could have played like this for the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Zach, I don't know if it was dominant. I think Geno Smith was improved. I think Geno Smith looked like a competent quarterback, making good decisions, using his legs to get out of trouble. So I think that he did some good things. Dominant, I'm not going to go as far as to say that. I mean, you open up the game with a pick six, it's almost like deja vu with that Buffalo home game all over again. You're thinking, what's going to happen? So I think overall, Geno Smith played a good game. I mean, here's the thing. Geno Smith is going to have a tremendous last three games to even be considered to be in the conversation for a starting quarterback role here in New York next year. I think that's the reality of it. I think that, who knows who's going to be here. The general manager likely won't be here. The coach likely won't be here. You know, the entire staff likely won't be here. So is the quarterback most likely to be here? So I think that, you know, overall, I don't know if that's going to work, you know, for him to play his way onto the team next year, because it might be a case of too little too late. But I think he had a nice game against Minnesota, and you tip your hat to him and you say, you know, maybe this kid is not completely dead yet.
Right. Do you think who do you think the two quarterbacks, or possibly three quarterbacks, the Jets, that will be on the Jets roster next year?
Well, I think the Jets are going to go big or go home. I think the Jets are going to go after a Marcus Mariota, or, you know, even I bring it up, Jameis Winston. I think that those are the type of guys that, you know, they would definitely want to go with. Outside of those two guys, I mean, I haven't really heard any other names that the Jets would be looking at. I mean, you could also, I've heard even RG3's name get tossed around in free agent talk. I mean, who knows? Maybe Brian Hoyer is going to be available next year. I mean, if the Jets look at it, you know, where they go with you draft a late round quarterback and try and get an Amari Cooper in the first round to really solidify that wide receiver position, that's a direction I think they could go with. But as of right now, I don't know any other quarterbacks that they would look at besides Mariota and Jameis Winston. But let's go to our man, Keith. Keith has been in hiding, it seems like, for a couple months here. And Keith wants to talk about the Pittsburgh game. I'm shocked. Keith, you're live. What's going on, my man? Welcome back.
Well, what's going on, Jet Nation Radio? Long time no speak. I miss y'all guys. Really, I do. It took me a while to get back on because my phone messed up, so I had to get a new one. And then, you know, just the way the season's been going, I've been kind of like, truthfully, I've been hiding because it's like, you know, kind of embarrassed. But that Pittsburgh game, it was awesome. You know, I really loved that game, you know, because I really didn't have faith that we would win it. But then we came and we won it, and I was like, oh, okay, awesome. So nobody really couldn't talk crap. But, yeah. You know, this. But besides that, like I even told my buddy, because he's a Steelers fan, I said, you know, I'm glad we won that game, but I'm still not quite satisfied, you know, because we're sitting there with a record like that. You know, we only won two games this year. That's bad, you know? So, but I really was calling because I wanted to ask, if we was to get rid of Rex Ryan, who would be the next best coach for us? Because I'm hearing about Jim Harbaugh, I'm hearing about him, but who else would be the next best?
Yeah, Keith, it's great to hear from you again. You know, we haven't heard from you in a while. And honestly,
right,
when you won that Pittsburgh game, I was there, and I thought about you after, because I know you live in Pittsburgh and you have to deal with all those Steelers fans. So I was happy we got that win for you. It was honestly it was one of the only highlights of this year. In that game, because, you know, the Raiders game wasn't too much of a highlight. It was still a bad game. We barely beat a terrible team. As far as coaches go, obviously you say Jim Harbaugh, and me and Brandon have talked about that off air a little bit, and I don't know completely about Brandon, but I would definitely like to see a guy like Jim Harbaugh. But honestly, other than that, I'm not too sure. There hasn't been a whole bunch of names tossed around. Obviously, people say guys like Gruden, but I think we saw that Gruden's not going to come here after that Monday night game to the Dolphins. It showed that he hated the Jets. So there's a whole bunch of names out there. I honestly, I'm not too sure on a name, but I'm going to tell you the kind of guy I want. I think that both me and Brandon can agree that we want a no-nonsense coach. We want a tough, you know, coach who is going to hold guys accountable, who's going to, you know, with Geno missing the meeting in San Diego, starting the game with Calvin Pryor missing meetings. We need a no-nonsense kind of coach in here. I'm not too sure exactly who it's going to be. I don't want a college coach. I don't want an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator who's going to be, you know, possibly a good coach, or he might possibly be this, or maybe he'll be good at that. You know, I think I want a proven guy, and I think Jim Harbaugh is the perfect example. But honestly, other than that, I'm not too sure.
Right. Okay. Because like I said, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Rex Ryan. He gave us 2 good years, you know, even though that wasn't his original roster. He came in on a good team, but he gave us 2 good years going to those championships. But after a while, you can tell, you know, the players don't really have it for him anymore. They're not playing for him anymore. And, you know, it's so that's why I had to get that one out first. Now, my second one, Geno Smith. Do you think that we're giving up on him just a little bit too fast? Because it is only his second year.
You know something, Keith, in terms of the Jets, like I always say, the Jet fans, the Jet, you know, management, they have the patience of 5-year-olds. That's basically the way it goes. If you don't win now, if you're not productive, the second you're not productive, they're calling for the next guy. Personally, yeah. I know I say it week in and week out, I am in the minority. I'm completely in the minority, and I get it, and I have no problem being a standout guy. You know who the head coach I want for the Jets next year? I want the same head coach that's on the team this year. I think it's a shame the direction gone in. I think that their team right now is lacking so much ability to compete with these teams. You know, they're going to be in these games with Minnesota and Tennessee, but when they go up against good teams, I just don't think they have I don't think Rex Ryan has the manpower to be successful. And I think it's a shame the direction it's gone in. And I think we're definitely going to miss terms on the. I mean, you look at the defensive players that are out there. I mean, it was Sheldon Richardson and David Harris last game. Who else is a high caliber type player out there on defense last week? Nobody.
Right.
And I mean,
and
Big
Big Mo went out, and ever since Big Mo went out, you know, that was a missing spot too.
Right. And you're looking. It's amazing to me how bad an offense can be when this team is 2-11 and they have the number 7th ranked defense in the National Football League. That to me is a crazy stat. So, I mean, I'm in one of the minorities that thinking, you know, you look at, of course, it's New York, so everything gets blown out of proportion. I always compare Ryan and you know, look at a guy like Marvin Lewis, who has 9 lives like a cat in Cincinnati. He hasn't even gotten to as far as Rex Ryan has gotten to in terms of playoffs. You know, how far he actually, how far into the playoffs he's gotten. And that's, you know, so if because Rex Ryan is under the New York media, because he's bold and brash, because this, you know, this team hasn't succeeded consistently for a long time, they're going to look for a quick fix. You're going to say, Rex, you were 8-8 last year. You haven't made the playoffs in 3 years now. We're done with you. We're moving on to somebody else. But is that the right move? We're not going to know that it's the right move. We could go sign an offensive coordinator next year and bring him in to be – because, like we've talked about, unless you're going to give the keys to the castle to a John Gruden or a Bill Cowher and say, look, John Gruden, you're the GM, you're the coach, you run the concessions, you run the parking lot, you run everything. We're going to rename the stadium Gruden Stadium. That's how you get John Gruden. But other than that, if you're not going to do that, you're going to go to not on the radar guy, you know, like a guy in Seattle or one of these good teams, take one of their coordinators and see what they can do. And guess what?
Right.
When that coach comes in here next year with the same quarterback situation and goes 4-12, 5-11, then what do you say? Well, maybe it might have been the team that's on the field and not 100% with the coaching. But I mean, in terms of your question with Geno Smith, I'll answer your question there. I think that Geno Smith has been given the opportunity right now to take this team, to be competitive, to show leadership, and to show that he's the guy. And he hasn't done that. And like I said, these people in the organization and us as fans, we want results now. You know, you're
sick
and tired.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like the Jets are going to be, well, let's get a rookie quarterback every 2 years and let's hit the reset button and let's see if maybe one of these 2 or 3 years we're going to draft a rookie quarterback that's going to work out. And
I'm just tired of waiting, you know?
Doesn't have it. Yeah,
right, and you get tired of waiting. Every 2 years or so, we're drafting a new quarterback, I'm like, we're getting like the Cleveland Browns almost. Like, every other year, they got to draft a new quarterback, and it's a shame. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, you know, when are we just going to get one guy? And, you know, even though, like, with Mark Sanchez, he at least got 5 years out of us, you know?
Yep.
So can we at least get at least maybe 4 out of Geno, you
it's
know?
It's not going to happen because the reason why Mark Sanchez got 5 years is because his first 2 years he blew the roof off of the expectations. He completely shattered expectations. So why Rex Ryan is still here. Rex Ryan completely shattered expectations because in the first 2 years, I mean, a lot of people talk about it's not his roster. I mean, it's still the coach has some part in the roster, but a lot the coach is giving the general managers what the general manager puts on the field. That's the way the circle of life works in the National Football League.
Absolutely.
Geno Smith has, gone below expectations this year. They were talking and you know what one of the problems is, Keith, is with Geno Smith, is he was built up to us as Jet fans this year. Oh, he was working in June. He came in July and August, and he looked fantastic. You know, he just looked light years ahead of where he was last year. And even
in the preseason.
You know, it's like false hope again, where he comes in and all of a sudden, Geno Smith has a good first half against the Green Bay Packers, and then it's like a downhill spiral from there.
There's another thing I wanted to throw into that, too. I noticed, because we spoke about this before, I think maybe last time when I called the show and spoke to you about it.
Uh-huh.
We're still having it to where Michael Vick is on the field with Geno Smith. Like, we got two quarterbacks that are on the field, and they're coming in with these wildcats. I mean, like, our play calling is so bizarre, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I don't get it.
I think their play calling is all over the place, but I actually saw some reports this week from Adam Schefter that Woody Johnson was even considering firing the general manager and offensive staff and still retaining Rex Ryan. I saw one of those reports. So, I mean, you don't know. It's the Jets. They will do something. They will do something this offseason that will make you scratch your head. But, Keith, I want to thank you for the call, man, and I appreciate you getting back into the swing of things here on Jet Nation Radio.
Like I said, hey, I love calling the show. You guys keep doing a good job. I'm going to try to call in next week if I can. You know, I'm sorry I missed some time with y'all, but like I said, this season has just been so weird. It's just even getting on Twitter and tweeting to some people, and I know you guys see my conversations and stuff. It's like, you know, I got to scratch my head, like, let's just tank the rest of the year without putting at least one more win in the column. Like, let's draft. I'm like, oh, God. But all right, so y'all take it easy.
All right, Keith, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Seth, who wants to talk about John Idzik. Go ahead, Seth. Thanks for waiting. You're on Jet Nation Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Before I get to my point, there's actually a few things I just want to address over the previous callers.
Sure.
First, regarding Geno, the reason why I'm willing to move on and why we think we need to move on and why the situation is different than Mark Sanchez is because Mark Sanchez, we traded up to the 5th overall pick. We had a lot invested in that player. Geno Smith was a second-round draft pick. I mean, if you want to look at precedent, look at the Carolina Panthers from a few years ago who drafted Jimmy Clausen in the second round, who people thought was a steal because he was projected as a mid-first rounder, and then they just drafted Cam Newton first overall the following year. Was that fair to Jimmy Clausen? Probably not, but that's the cycle of the NFL. When you don't have as much invested in a particular player, you have the capability to move on, and I think we've just seen enough to Geno to know that he's not going to be a franchise guy. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with him. You didn't invest a lot in him. I think you need to move. I think that's one of the primary reasons why you have to move on. And then regarding Rex, here's the issue with keeping Rex. It's not because Rex is a bad coach. He's not a bad coach. I think Rex is a very good coach. The issue here is that if you keep Rex, you have to keep Idzik as well, because you can't thrust another general manager to keep Rex automatically. Someone has to go. You can't keep both Idzik and Rex after what I think is going to be a 3-win season. You can't. You absolutely cannot. I think there will be a fan revolt. So I think that's the issue with keeping Rex. Both of them have to go, and that sort of leads to my next question. What is the percentage you believe John Idzik gets fired along with Rex Ryan?
I mean, after this year, I think, and I think after the reports that I'm reading, that the Jets management is fully aware about the fans, you know, pretty much revolting against, I like that word they used, against John Idzik. I think it's a great chance. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right onto it. I think, I mean, look at the amount, look at the Fire John Idzik campaign that these fans have put together. I mean, the FireJohnIdzik.com is giving out 10,000 flags for fans to use for their home game against the Patriots, and each towel says Fire John Idzik on them. I mean, so it's very clear that the fans are, you know, you're not, and that's why I think Woody Johnson has some type of way that he might be able to look at himself and his group of guys and say, we might be able to keep the head coach of this team without having the fans, you know, storm MetLife Stadium with pitchforks. Because if you look at the, you know, the outcry of fans, you don't see Fire Rex Ryan movements. You know what I mean? It's not, a lot of people are putting, well, you know, we really thank Rex, you know what I mean? But it's more along the lines of everybody has seen what the general manager has done to this team in the past 2 years. He's keeping money in the team's pocket. He's not going out and improving the roster. You know, Jalen Saunders was I think every Jet fan was sick to their stomach when they were reading on Twitter how Jalen Saunders was having a great game against, you know, for the Saints on Sunday, and that's a guy that Jets just drafted this year. So I mean, there's so many things that he's done that just hasn't improved this team. So I think that John Idzik has shown that he, you know, does not have the ability to put a good product together. And I know it's still 2 years, but I don't think any Jet fan will be happy if John Idzik is still the general manager this year. Actually, you know, I think I wouldn't go that far. I would think the majority of Jet fans will not be happy if John Idzik is retained, and I think that weighs a lot on the Jets management more than Rex Ryan, because I think Woody Johnson can still sell Rex Ryan to the Jet fan. I don't think Woody Johnson can sell John Idzik to the Jet fan. What do you think, Joe?
No, I don't think he could sell Rex Ryan to the Jets fans. I'm telling you honestly right now that if Rex Ryan is back next year, I'm probably going to climb up to the top of MetLife Stadium and jump off, because that's just terrible. I know you guys, I think that Rex is a good defensive coordinator, but you look at some of the things that we've done, some of the talent we've brought in, and some of the questionable decisions that he has made this year. I don't put this all on talent. I do not think this is the talent of a 2-11 team, not even close. So I think a decent amount of this has to go to Rex. You know, but to answer the question, you know, I think that Idzik returning, I think it's like 50-50 as of right now. You know, he's made some bad moves, and yeah, the Jalen Saunders thing, but Jalen Saunders was fumbling punts and he was doing a terrible job. So I just think
he got drafted this year. Who cares?
No, I understand. I think that we should have definitely kept him on the roster a little bit more. When you have guys like Chris Owosu, who is just signed, I think that we could have, you know, gave him his due diligence and gave him a little bit more time. But I just don't think that I can see both sides of it. I can see why people want Idzik fired, but I can also see, you know, why people want Idzik still here, even though it's a very small majority of the fans. And I think that a reason, you know, everybody says the cap space, but you know, if we were sitting here with only $5 or $10 million and everybody's saying, oh, we only have $5-$10 million, we're not going anywhere, we don't have a quarterback, then everybody would be pissed at him for that reason too. So I think that a reason that he didn't spend all of the money, and I understand that $50 million is a lot, and yeah, he should have, you know, maybe got a little bit more depth or a starting corner or something like that. I understand that. And that's a good point that fans make, but he's not going to spend $50 million when you don't know who your quarterback
is.
No doubt about it. There's some problems with him, but I think there's absolutely no chance that Rex Ryan is retained and Idzik is here, because no new general managers want to come in with Rex Ryan tied to them already. So I think that's 0% chance of happening.
Go ahead, Seth.
He sort of emphasized the point I was going to make regarding that it's impossible to keep Rex, because you can't This is the primary. And the reason why we're here is because a GM was thrust at a head coach. That's primarily one of the reasons why we're at this point. But another reason, yep, aside from Rex, who I think is like 99% going to get fired. I think the question is Pizik here. But look at his draft record. Has any GM failed so badly with so many draft picks? Sheldon Richardson is his one good pick. It's his one good pick. D. Milliner, he's may not be the same. He was never good. Calvin Pryor's benched. Jason Morrow might be an average tight end at best. Everyone else is either injured or has nothing to record about. Who has 12 draft picks and has nothing to show for it? At least trade them in the draft and move up and try to target, you know, a superior prospect. Who enters a draft with 12 picks and walks out with no impact players? Finally, the last GM that's done that. It's mind-boggling how poor of a talent evaluator this guy is. This guy's trading stuns are even awful. He can't come back. It's 2 years, I understand, but nearly every selection he's made, and John Hibbs claims that this team's lifeblood is going to be the draft. But he might be the worst drafting GM in the league, and I'm not even trying to be exaggerated. Look at his record. I do not trust him drafting the next quarterback, and I certainly do not trust him running the next draft. He needs to go. Rex needs to go. The issue here also is that I don't trust Woody Johnson to do the right thing.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely see your point about the draft. I think you have to give the draft a little bit more time. I think to say that Jason Morrow is just an average, you know, tight end or average rookie tight end is I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I think that Jason Morrow definitely has the potential to be not a Jimmy Graham or a Gronk, but I think he has the talent to be a top 15 tight end in this league. And to talk about bad drafts, you know, we saw a draft in 2010 where we have a guy who every single Jets fan hates. I think 99% of us hate Kyle Wilson. You have a guy like Vlad Dukas in our second round pick. You have Joe McKnight. Who else did we have from that? We had John Connor. So we've definitely had some bad drafts before. And the thing about Pryor too, I think the jury is still out on Pryor. I think to say Pryor is a bust right now is a little bit of an overstatement, just because
he got
benched. But the thing that I think about that is, I think that taking a strong safety in the draft when you know that he's an in-the-box safety and you know he plays up in coverage, and to put him 20, 25 yards back in coverage and ask him to be an Ed Reed type is a complete joke. So I think once you get a new coach in here or you know, you play Calvin Pryor in the right position, I don't care if you have to move Antonio Allen, who this whole entire season has moved to free safety, to strong safety, to corner. He's probably playing defensive line, and maybe I wasn't paying attention. So maybe you move him to free safety and then let a guy like Calvin Pryor, you know, thrive in his natural position of strong safety. So I think that's a little bit of an overstatement. But the thing with the draft two this year is that you got to think about is, you know, if Dexter McDougal came in here, who was our third round pick, and he was playing slot corner, and you saw him and you thought he was doing a decent job, and maybe he took over the role of Kyle Wilson, and you saw a guy like Shaq Evans, maybe he had, I don't think he was a great pick in the fourth round. I thought there were some other guys who are obviously there. But if a guy like Shaq Evans comes in, But if a guy like if a guy like Shaq Evans comes in next year and, you know, doesn't have a great year, but has a year maybe like 350 yards, something like that, I think that the draft, this year's draft class, I think the jury is still out on that as well. So I think you have to give a little bit more time to this year's draft class. Obviously, you have some bust picks with Jalen Saunders,
except,
you have Jeremiah
except
George.
Here's the problem. The problem is that we're sitting here talking about one of the greatest wide receiver drafts of all time, and the Jets have none of them. That's one of my biggest problems. Is if you're gonna have 12 picks and you're gonna trust yourself to use all these 12 picks, and now you're talking about a guy like, you know, a fourth round pick and Jalen Saunders is on a different roster. A fourth round pick is very valuable in terms of trade bait. It's shown. I mean, the Jets have gotten Percy Harvin and Chris Ivory with a fourth round pick. So
Was I the only one screaming for Dante Moncrief in the third round when we were up? I was screaming his name.
You might have been, maybe. But I think you just have to look at, I mean, it really kind of sickens me how well Odell Beckham is doing for the Giants, and wondering if we moved up, you know, four or five spots to go get a guy like that. Or if we moved up in the draft to get Mike Evans.
Do you know how many picks that would take to move up to get a wide receiver, which we didn't, which I don't think we'd
for
ever.
For Odell Beckham, what did the Giants, pick? Five picks ahead of them or something like that?
Yeah, but Brandon, I did a little research because I wanted to get in a little bit of the, you know, of the trading up and everybody saying, oh, trade up to the two pick to get Mariota or the one. Just to trade up from number four to number two would take our first, our second, and our third round pick, and that's two picks,
yeah, but
I understand.
Hold on a second. I'm talking about moving up to a seven. That's talking about going from to the number one pick in the draft, Joe. I'm talking about going up from the 18th to the 14th spot along those lines and moving up. It doesn't take your first. It doesn't take you to sell the farm to move up two or three picks in the or five picks even in a draft. It doesn't take that.
We would have had to move up from the 18th pick to the 11th pick, and that would have been a lot. And I wasn't talking about the first pick; I was talking about the second pick. So we'd only be moving up two picks. And before the draft, I know that everybody was saying, you know, oh well, Mike Evans, well, Sammy Watkins. A lot of people had questions about Odell Beckham and how he was playing. Brandon, it's so easy to play post-draft. That's what everybody does on Twitter. Oh, well, Marquavius Bryant.
What are we supposed to do?
I understand that, but to evaluate
draft. John Itzik
the Jets wouldn't trade up to get Odell Beckham. That's a joke. I think the first round the thing is still out.
It's a reality. It's not having faith in your draft talent to go make a move with 12 picks and wasting picks. Go ahead, Seth.
Here's the joke. Here's the real joke. What I'm scared most about. Look at the draft order right now for the 2015 draft. You have the Titans and Bucks ahead of us who both legitimately need starting quarterbacks. There's a realistic chance here the Jets can finish with three wins, let's say. Let's assume we beat Tennessee and we lose the next two games, which I think is what's gonna go down. There's a realistic chance we would have a three-win season and we would not be able to draft Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston.
Yep.
And that would be an absolute nightmare because this team needs a quarterback perhaps in the worst way possible. And after those two, unless Connor Cook comes out, which I doubt he is, considering the comments he made a month or two ago, unless he comes out, the quarterback drop is so significant. So I'm scared. I'm really scared that the quarterback situation is going to be almost as dreadful next year as it is right now, unless we get Mariota or Winston, and I'm afraid we're not going to.
I see, and the thing that scares me about the draft too is I know you say you want to trade up, and like I said before, just to move down to the second, it would be the first, the second, and the third, and then for the number one pick, it would be the first and our first next year's. And the scary thing about that is I know that everybody wants a quarterback, but is it worth the trade up for these guys? I know we need a quarterback in the worst way, but there's so many questions, you know, about Winston and his character, and if he's going to be in jail by the time he gets to the NFL. And then Mariota, you obviously have him coming from a spread offense where you don't know if he can come and run a pro-style offense. So there's so many questions, you know, are these guys going to be good? Are they worth trading up for? This draft is going to be
that's why they get paid the big bucks, man. That's why you get paid millions of dollars to be a general manager in the NFL.
Option C is Amari Cooper, and I think Amari Cooper is going to be a stud. I mean, I think he'll be available by our pick because Jacksonville is going to draft defense. Oakland's going to probably draft defense. So I think Cooper's an option too, but I really want the quarterback.
One thing is, it is really sad that we're sitting here on December 9th the middle of a football season talking about the NFL draft. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there as well, how miserable this season has gone. We're sitting here arguing and talking sports and talking Jets, and the only thing that we can talk about that brings up some type of excitement is the NFL draft coming in the first week of May. I mean, that just shows you what the Jets have turned the fans into come this point of the year.
Not at all.
Well, Seth, I want to thank you for the call and appreciate it. And we definitely hope to hear from you again soon, my man.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. That was Seth here on Jet Nation Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Let's talk about some in-season football here, Joe. And We'll save the draft for all 40 shows leading up to it as soon as this season ends. When we come back, I think my swan song for my NFL picks of the week are done. I went out on a limb and I didn't, you know, come up successful. So we'll get into our picks of the week. We'll talk about the upcoming Jets game, and we'll bring it all back to you here on Jet Nation Radio. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. Pack in the wind, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I'm going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. Joe, we're taking a break from the draft talk. It's miserable that we're even having that conversation when the Christmas trees are up and we're talking about the NFL draft. It's horrible. It just has been, it's been that type of year for the Jets that, you know, it's the only thing we can look to now as this season is finally coming to close to somewhat of an end as we get ready to move into the offseason. And this offseason is going to be full of questions for the New York Jets. But let's dive right into it here with our Jet Nation Radio picks of the week. And, Joe, I think you finally took it from me. I think I'm done.
Yeah, right now, you know, I'm at 40-23 and you're at 33-30. I went 3-2 last week and you went 2-3. So I picked up another game on you. So right now I'm 7 games up. So unless you have a really, really good, 3 weeks, I think I pretty much have it right now.
You can get the golden sombrero like they give out on NFL on Fox when they, to the pick champion.
Oh yeah.
The lead dog is what you'll get. You're the lead dog right now.
And talking about golden sombreros, Brandon, I heard you before say that Sanchez, you know, blew the roof off in his first 2 years as a Jet. Not as you know how I don't like Sanchez.
In expectations, though, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, but yeah, but his first year he had 12 touchdowns and 20 picks,
his next year he had
17 and 13.
Right, but I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about Mark Sanchez's expectations was not to be the quarterback of the Jets. Not quarterbacking the Jets to the AFC Championship game as a rookie quarterback. He blew the roof off those expectations. They were looking at coming in, new head coach, new quarterback. When Rex and Sanchez came in, the expectations were probably what they are now. You have no idea. It could go 8-8. It could go 3-13. So they completely, you know, blew the roof off the expectations those first 2 years. And that's what – because guess what? If Mark Sanchez has two bad years and finishes 7-9 and 8-8 with those teams, then he's not getting 5 years. He's getting two or three. And if he has that third year like he had, I mean, he's getting the axe. He's gone. So when I say blew the roof off expectations, I mean in terms of wins and losses and production and success. You know, his success was there. Whatever he does on the field, you know, he did exactly what he needed to do for the Jets to be successful. That was what I meant there. But let's go right into our picks here as we talk here on Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. Our first game is Pittsburgh goes into the Atlanta Falcons, who are still alive. I think they're actually in first place in their division. It's unbelievable how bad the NFC South is. Pittsburgh goes into Hot Atlanta. Who do you like and why?
I'm definitely going to take the Steelers. I think the Falcons last night, you know, they showed what Matt Ryan and especially Julio Jones, who had an amazing game, they showed what they can do a little bit. But, you know, the Steelers are playing for a playoff spot. The Falcons, yeah, they're playing for that division, but they've been terrible the last 2 years. And, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, we really thought that they were one of the top teams in the NFL, but they've definitely came back down to earth, and they just look terrible. The Steelers are playing for the AFC North. All those teams in that division are within a game from within each other, a game or two. So I'm going to take the Steelers since they're definitely fighting for a playoff spot, and they're just overall the better team, Brandon.
I think that you're right on point with this one, but I'm still going to go with the Atlanta Falcons in this football game. I think Atlanta has to at some point win a football game that matters. They're still in first place in their division. They're at home. They're playing at home, obviously, in that dome. They're playing to their strengths. They came off a heartbreaking loss to the Packers after practically coming all the way back. I think Atlanta's finally going to put a game together that they're going to say, wow, you know, we are, you know, in their meeting, could you imagine sitting as the coach? Imagine if Rex Ryan was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons right now. He'd walk into that meeting room and say, guys, we're 5-8. And in first place, can we get one win, please? Just one. That's all the coach is asking for. Put a performance together that's good enough to win. You're at home. It's not a national game. I think that Atlanta is going to surprise people with this win. I think Pittsburgh had their, you know, gave it all against Cincinnati and blew them out. I think this might be a little bit of a letdown game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Atlanta needs the win desperately. Let's go to our next game here as, you know, Peyton Manning has kind of taken the foot off the gas a little bit. San Diego with a bad loss to New England. They could have had that game and let it slip away in the end. San Diego goes to Denver. Who do you like and why?
I'm going to take Denver in this game. They're one of the best teams in the NFL at home right now. And simply to put it, they're fighting right now with the Patriots for home field advantage for what most fans can see in the foreseeable future, you know, hopefully being Denver and Patriots playing in the conference championship game. So I think that Denver is really fighting for that spot. They want to be at home playing most likely the Patriots. So I think that Denver takes this one, for better position in the playoffs.
All right. I'm not going to disagree with that one. I think Denver knows they have to win in order to keep pace with New England and hope that they slip up along the way against division opponents. So I'm going to take the Broncos as well in a nice game here. I think it'll be a close one, but I think Denver ultimately is the better team and will win the football game. San Fran, it seems like, you know, the wheels have fallen off their wagon. It's amazing to think that people are talking about, you know, Harbaugh getting fired after, you know, the record and the production he's done there after practically one bad year right now. I think it's just a matter of the general manager and him don't get along. But they're going into Seattle, who is starting to look like the Seattle of last year and the Super Bowl champs. Who do you like in this game and why?
Yeah, but you basically said it for me, Brandon. There's not a whole long, you know, explanation to this. The 49ers have been terrible last couple of weeks, you know, losing to the Rams, you know, getting beat by the Raiders. So I think they're going to lose this game. The Seahawks have definitely got back on track. They're hot right now. Their defense is playing great defense. We saw it in the Eagles game.
So they're definitely back on track, and I think Seattle's no doubt about it going to win this one.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's, you know, the Seahawks are looking like a dominant team again. They're right there in the mix. I think that Seattle is, you know, right back in play, obviously, with the Packers as the best team in the NFC. So I think Seattle is going to take this football game in a dominant fashion. I think San Fran is practically done now. Dallas goes into Philadelphia. Philly lost to the champs at home on Sunday. Mark Sanchez might not be playing in this one. It's up in the air between him and Foles. Who do you like in this football game and why?
I'm going to take the Eagles in this one. I think the Cowboys have, you know,
staring at my shit again.
Yeah, they had a great beginning of the year, but yeah, they had some big wins recently, but I think that they're not as good as their record is, and I think the Eagles, you know, win this game just like they did on Thanksgiving when they blew the Cowboys out at Cowboys place. So I just think the Eagles and the Cowboys, you know, their offense is almost even. Their offenses both have some great firepower. But I just think the Eagles definitely have a better defense. I just think they're a better all around team. So I'm gonna take the Eagles in this one.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys in this football game because I think it's now or never for the Dallas Cowboys. You have to walk into Philadelphia and prove that you are a contender. I think a lot of people still believe Dallas to be a pretender. I think even with wins over to, you know, the Seahawks and the way they beat the Giants twice, I think that Dallas has to prove themselves as still to be a contender, a legitimate contender for the Super Bowl. I think the way they do it is they walk into Philly, they regain the top spot in the NFC East with a statement win. Because if the Eagles win this game and sweep the season series and go up a game with two games left to play, I think it's very up in the air if the Cowboys even make the playoffs with how many good teams there are in the NFC. So I'm going to put my stock in the Cowboys this game. Because if they don't win this one, when will they win a big game to catapult them into the playoffs and even more? So those are our Jet Nation Radio non-Jet picks of the week. Again, you can always join in on the talk on JetNation.com. The forum is exploding with new users every single day. The football talk does not stop on Jet Nation Radio. Head on over to JetNation.com for great giveaway prizes and more. JetNation.com. Take all your water cooler talk at work and bring it to JetNation.com. Joe, in this football game, the Jets go into the, you know, face the Tennessee Titans, what I'm going to call the 2014 toilet bowl on Sunday. You have two bad teams, two bad records, two teams playing. You know what? Let's change it from the toilet bowl to the Mariota Bowl. So this is the Mariota Bowl at Tennessee this weekend. The Jets go into Nashville. Who do you like and why?
Well, first of all, I'm gonna say that you have some cojones for picking the Cowboys in mid-December. I just want to get that out of the way because that is
now
definitely a ballsy move.
Now
yeah, no doubt about it.
Them.
And you have some catching up to do. but you know, yeah, this is a bad game. It's 2-11 teams. I think it's funny that we're favored to the 2-11 team being favored at another team's home. So it just shows you how bad the Titans are. I think the Jets are going to get their last win of the season with this one, 27-17. As long as, you know, the Jets have no pick sixes, you know, maybe Sanchez doesn't get his ninth pick six in 2 years, since right now he has eight, which is embarrassing. Maybe no dumb penalties. Maybe we convert in the red zone. Like Zach said before, which I thought was funny, which I didn't get to get to. Chino had a great game, which I definitely disagree with. I think it just shows you the mediocrity that Jets fans have been, exposed to. So I think if he has a decent game, we'll be fine. If, you know, like last game, we didn't have Jeff Carmelin blocking two people because Geno can't pick up a blitz read. You know, maybe if we don't have one timeout left with 3:41 left in the third quarter, if we limit some of those things, maybe we can win. And Brandon, something we didn't talk about, which is a huge point for this game too, is that one of the last drives of the game, you had Kyle Wilson holding on a 3rd and 13, and then DeMario Davis getting an unnecessary roughness call on a sliding Teddy Bridgewater.
Which is ridiculous.
So if we can, oh yeah, well I see it both ways though. You're not supposed to lead with your helmet. I know he hit him with his shoulder pad, but you're not even supposed to lead with your helmet or go for the quarterback if he's sliding. You're supposed to just touch him up. So that was a little dumb of him to try to hit him when he knows he's going down and getting himself up, because wherever the quarterback lands or where his butt or knee lands, that's where the ball is going to be spotted. So it doesn't matter if you touch him after the line or when he gets to the ground, it's where he lands. So that was stupid by him. But if we can limit some of the stupid mistakes, some of the stupid penalties, some of the stupid picks, maybe we can beat a terrible football team. I want to take the Jets 27-17 in their last win of the season.
I think if the Jets don't win this game, then we have officially hit below rock bottom. Tennessee
for the third time this year.
I actually think the Jets have potential to blow out the Titans on Sunday. I think the Jets are, you are what your record are is. You're 2-11. You're not a good football team, but I think the Jets are not on the low point in terms of players being put on the field as the Tennessee Titans are on Sunday. I think the Jets are going to run the football. They're going to let Geno loose a little bit in this football game to see what he has. 2-11 versus 2-11. You're not going to have a conservative game plan. You're going to let your players play and see what they got. I mean, if you have to come in and say, look, we're going to pound the rock and play time of possession and keep the Titans offense off the field, then I think the coach should be fired on the spot. Let the players play, see what you got. You're facing a bad team. If the Jets roster is what, if we want to sit here and say, well, this team is 2-11, but they are definitely don't have the roster of a 2-11 football team. Well, here's your chance to prove it. Go out there, blow out a Tennessee team. I know a lot of people aren't going to like that because you want them to lose for draft positioning. First off, I'm a fan. I don't watch games to root for my team to lose for where they can pick in the draft. I worry about the draft in May once opening day starts for baseball. So I'm not worrying about the Jets losing for better draft positioning. You pick where you pick and you go from there. I think the Jets win this game big on Sunday. I think they're going, like a 35-17 type football game, because I think they're superior to Tennessee Titans. And if they don't win this game by a big margin, we have a lot of concern. And we will come in next week, and I will be very, very concerned with the landscape of this football team, because especially with Mettenberg going down for the year, this is the time for the Jets to show, okay, we're bad, but we're not this bad, almost.
And to put on top of it, hopefully we're going to have Wilkerson back. I think they said they're ordering him a special shoe to get him going. And then hopefully we have Jason Mara back, even though Percy Harvin's probably not going to be there. But I agree with you, Brennan. I want the Jets to blow the doors off the Titans. And the main reason is, the reason that you said before, is all these people on Twitter and all these Jets fans, oh, lose for picks. I'm so pissed that they're trying to win right now. Are you kidding me? You're not a real – you're first of all, if you're rooting for your team to lose, you're not a real fan. And I really, really hope that they blow the doors off of these teams. And even – I don't even care. Hopefully they win these next three games, and it just pisses those people off more who aren't real fans and act like real fans, because it just makes me so mad every single tweet I see. Oh, lose for picks. I have some news for you. Those people aren't real fans to me.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of, if you want to see, you will see, Joe, I'm telling you right now, you will see where the Jets are at in terms of a state of their franchise this Sunday more than any other Sunday, because you watch the Giants team and the Giants stink. Okay, their defense stinks. Their offense is inconsistent. Their quarterback's inconsistent. Their coaching staff is going to be shown pink slips as well. And they walked into Tennessee and said, look, we might stink, but we're not as bad as that team across the field from us. We're much better than them. We're going to show it. We're going to have a nice win, and then we'll pick up the pieces from there. That's what the Jets need to do on Sunday. They need to prove to everybody that they're not on the caliber of a Tennessee Titans. Because if they're on the caliber of this bad of a football team, I'm sorry. You're looking at your coach, your GM, your owner. Everybody needs to be reevaluated. Because if you can't walk in with that, with Geno Smith, Eric Decker, Jason Morrow, Chris Johnson, okay? You can't walk in with those type of guys on offense and Richardson and Wilkerson on defense and beat down a depleted, bad Tennessee Titans roster and team, then you are just as lowly and just as bad, and I hope that you get the first or second pick, because it's going to take a new coach, new quarterback, new regime to fix this entire mess. That's the reality of the game on Sunday. But I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. I want to thank all the callers tonight, Seth, Keith, Zach. If I'm missing anybody out there, please let me know. I want to thank Jerry behind the scenes running our Twitter account and taking our phone calls here on Jet Nation Radio. We're going to get back at it for another week next week. As always, we're here every Tuesday. And again, the football talk does not stop ever with Jet Nation or on Jet Nation Radio. Head on over to JetNation.com. The forums are exploding with new people every single day who want to talk Jets football. They want to chime in on who's going to get fired, who's going to stay. You know, everybody's playing GM or owner in their heads. Let it all out on your computers on JetNation.com. Great giveaway prizes and more. Head on over to JetNation.com for more information. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.